Well, club football is back after the international break, and there's a bumper weekend of action ahead. The North London Derby always attracts plenty of interest, of course, but with Arsenal topping the table, this clash has even more riding on it. Manchester City, meanwhile, look to stay in touch with the Gunners, with Pep's men facing a trip to the Toon on Saturday. Meanwhile, at the bottom of the table, can Wolves pull off the great escape with their new manager? We've got it all covered on this week's Assist. Welcome along then to the Assist in association with freesupertips.com, your home for daily football hackers and bet builders. I'm Warren Ashurst, and this week I'm pleased to say I've been joined by James Milton and Dan Childs from the Racing Post. Couldn't have asked for two better people to look ahead to the North London Derby, which we'll focus on very shortly. They'll discuss their thoughts on all of the Premier League fixtures and, of course, on the key EFL matches as well. Before we get underway, though, with the show, just to remind you that this week is Safer Gambling Week, a moment for the entire industry to highlight and promote safer gambling. You can see key information on your screen now, and you can find more guidance and support at safergamblinguk.org. Well, don't forget, of course, as ever, to interact with us and give us your thoughts on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Tribe of Gad has been in touch with us last time out, and flagged up Villa's good head-to-head record over Bournemouth, saying the return of Youri Tielemans is a key factor. Of course, Unai Emery's men went on to win 4-0. And Dyson Center said, great show as ever, lads. Agree with Dan on Forest as being a very good bet at the prices. Hope you are on with Sean Dyche's men, of course, according a 3-1 comeback win over Leeds. Let's turn our attentions, though, to this week now, as there's a masses to get through in terms of both the Premier League and the EFL. And we'll start off in order of importance in terms of the games, and we couldn't go anywhere else other than the Emirates to start off with. It is Arsenal against Tottenham, 4:30 on Sunday. We'll get to the prices and the guys' thoughts on the best bets in a moment. But, Milts, we'll start with you. And Arsenal, bit of a blow this week with the news that Gabriel is set to be out, with some reports suggesting as much as a month on the sidelines.
Yeah, it's a huge blow to Arsenal. I mean, he's been such an inspirational figure at both ends of the pitch. And you know, Arsenal fans, we can't even blame the travel during the international break or a dodgy pitch, because he got injured in a friendly for Brazil at the Emirates Stadium. So, yeah, really the last thing that Arsenal needed during the international break. You know, they've got a lot of injuries. It's kind of injury crises only seem to get mentioned when your team's not winning. But Arsenal, you know, if they've been missing this number of players in the past couple of seasons, they could easily have capitulated. The one thing I would say is that they've got incredible strength in depth at the back. And so possibly that they'll be able to cover for the absence of Gabriel for what, maybe 4-6 weeks. But yeah, not the news Arsenal fans wanted.
There's a little bit of irony for Tottenham fans, Dan, this week when, you know, they've been struggling for goals a little bit of late. And you see the likes of Harry Kane and Troy Parrott even banging in the goals on international duty. And now they've got to try and break down an Arsenal backline which has been so stubborn so far this season. Is it a positive, though, that this game's at the Emirates? Because, you know, Spurs seem to be playing much better away from home.
No, it's not. No, you look at Spurs' record at the Emirates, it's absolutely dreadful. I mean, sometimes you can head-to-head records, you can look at them and they don't, like, you know, mean a lot, especially if you're playing against a team maybe that you haven't played for a few years, and it's just happened a lot of it in the past. But I just think any Spurs fan will tell you that the team at Arsenal just, it's got such a poor record and often doesn't turn up. Often, you know, they'll often concede an early goal, and that it takes quite a lot to shift that kind of negative mindset. And I mean, and James mentioned about Arsenal's injuries. I had a look at the latest Spurs count, including sort of doubts and definite injuries, and I think it stands at 12 at the moment for Spurs, which I think is the highest in the Premier League. So Spurs are not in fantastic shape of injuries. They are in key areas, they should be right. I mean, Romero came off, didn't he, towards the end of that game against Manchester United. Sounds like he'll be okay. I mean, for Spurs to have any chance at all, I feel that Romero and Van der Ven have certainly got to be starting the game and play well. But I think Arsenal with that, Gabriel is obviously a big blow, but I don't think you keep 8 clean sheets in a row just down to one player or two players at the back. I think it's a lot of it is a team effort as well. They're very, very all work for each other, very structured, not sort of a swashbuckling side as they used to be, but they're a hard team to play against.
To run you through the odds then for the North London Derby, Arsenal 21-50 to claim the victory, Spurs are 13-2 and the draw 15-4. Let's just touch as well upon Eberechi Eze before you get into your best bet for the North London Derby, because he's already had a big impact since he's moved from Crystal Palace. Big goal for England and a stunning goal, I should say, for England at Wembley as well last time out. What sort of a difference is he making to the Arsenal side?
Yeah, I think he's brought something really different to Arsenal. You know, often criticised for kind of not being direct enough, not shooting enough. You know, we saw his shooting stats over the past few seasons at Palace were incredible. And yeah, he's been a terrific signing already. You know, scored the only goal of the game against Palace in what was a tough home game for Arsenal. So yeah, very, very pleased with his early impact. And yeah, he's really kind of established himself as an important player.
Are you confident going into this game, would you say? Is this a potential? I mean, it is clearly a potential banana skin because it's a derby. And we all know the kind of regular phrases of the form book going out of the window. But are Arsenal in a good enough place off the back of that Sunderland draw to bounce back?
I think so. I mean, you know, obviously it's the end of the winning run and you know, disappointing to concede so late on. I actually thought the way Sunderland were playing at the Stadium of Light, for Arsenal to come back from 1-0 down to lead so late on, I thought they showed real character in that second half. You know, it was a real battle. And so no panic stations for Arsenal yet. I'm just looking at the odds about them winning to nil, actually. And Dan's mentioned Tottenham struggles up front. I think Arsenal are a good bet to win to nil. You know, so much defensive depth. You look at their second string back four. You could have Ben White, Mosquera, Hinkabee, and Lewis Skelly in there, mm-hmm. and so yeah, the absence of Gabriel shouldn't hurt them too much. Just reading a piece by our colleague Simon Giles on Tottenham's early season form under Thomas Frank, and you know, the lack of creativity is extraordinary on the kind of XG and underlying stats. I think they've played the fewest through balls in the entire division. So I think their chances of shocking Arsenal's defence look slim.
Okay, and the negativity from the Tottenham end down at the moment is glaring after your previous remarks. You can't really make a case for an upset here?
Not really. I mean, again, there's lots to be positive about at the moment, considering that the amount of injuries I've mentioned, they're fifth in the league. They're the way form, as you mentioned at the start, Warren. I mean, they have got 13 points from 5 away games, including a win at Manchester City when they had a bit of a healthier squad. But I just feel this game for Spurs. I can't see where they're going to hurt Arsenal. I do agree with James. Actually, it wouldn't surprise me at all if Arsenal got back to keeping their clean sheet. So I'm going to go for Arsenal and under 3.5 goals. So it's a similar type of bet. Arsenal are not a side at the moment that piles on lots of goals. I think there'll be a big set-piece threat, as we know, from both sides. Actually, Spurs have been one of the better teams from set-pieces. But that lack of creativity that James mentioned is key. Kulusevski is going to be back, apparently, soon. You know, a couple of weeks, he's back in training. But it's going to be just a little bit too late, I think, for Spurs to have a better chance here. I think Arsenal will win a low-scoring game.
Just a reminder that the North London Derby is a 4:30 kickoff on Sunday, and Arsenal will know whether already Manchester City have closed the gap on them at the top of the table, because City are in action at 5:30 on Saturday evening when they make the journey to Tyneside to face Newcastle. The odds here: Newcastle 13-5 to claim the win, City 19-20 and the draw 14-5. And City will be buoyed after that win over Liverpool last time out at the Etihad, Dan, and they look like genuine title contenders now.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I mean, I've had them down as genuine title contenders for pretty much since the start of the season, really. I was tempted by City here at the prices. I mean, Eddie Howe's under a lot of pressure at the moment. I think, you know, a lot of talk about, you know, will they make a decision there, if considering the start they've had. I mean, for Newcastle, you're kind of looking now them, you know, Champions League qualification. I know they've had a difficult summer with the ESAC scenario, but to only have 12 points at the moment, you've got this tough game against Manchester City. You got then trips to Marseille in the Champions League and to Everton. Tough game considering Everton's home form in the league coming up. It's a bit of a dangerous period, I think, for Eddie Howe, considering where they are in the table. However, I just think Newcastle, they're still really tough to beat at home. So I'm going to go with a draw here. Draw's nearly, you know, not far short of 3-1. I mean, Arsenal, you know, scored very late to win there, didn't they? Liverpool were like one there, but, you know, were playing against 10 men for a huge amount of the game. We're still given a, you know, massive scare. They've won their other, you know, Premier League home games, Newcastle. So it's still a really tough place to go, despite their league position. City are going great. As I said, not really got many negatives to say about him. Haaland's, you know, scoring bundles of goals. They're looking nice and healthy on the injury front. Foden getting, you know, back to form and fitness. I just think St James's Park winning there is never easy. So I'm going to go with a draw.
It'll be bitterly cold, I imagine, as well, at St James's Park on Saturday night. Milt, is this going to be a concern for Pep Guardiola? Of course, Champions League coming up in midweek as well. He's going to have to maybe sort of juggle a few players around just to make sure everybody stays fit.
Yeah, I think it is a tricky test, you know, coming back from the international break. I think City were worthy winners against Liverpool, weren't they, last time out. But as Dan's mentioned, Newcastle's home form gives them a real chance. I think City are just about short enough to oppose here, actually. You know, Newcastle had the league defeats to Liverpool and Arsenal, quite unlucky in both of those. And then their only other defeat was against Barcelona in the Champions League. So they've won their other seven home games, only conceded once in their last five at St James's. So I think they can make it really, really tough for City. And you know, the only blot on City's recent record was that defeat at Villa Park. They lost 1-0 there. Really subdued performance. That was after a midweek away trip in the Champions League to Villarreal. So just wondering whether the internationals will have disrupted their rhythm in a similar style. So, yeah, I'm happy to oppose City this weekend. Tough trip to Newcastle.
Okay, well, third on the list are the team currently sat third in the Premier League as Chelsea make the trip to Turf Moor to face Burnley in Saturday's early kickoff. And Burnley are 11-2 here to claim an upset and bag the 3 points. It's 12-25 Chelsea and the draw is 100-30. It has a smatterings as one of those games that Chelsea could potentially slip up in, Milts, when you consider it's an early kickoff after the international break. Is there a danger that Burnley might cause them upset here?
Yeah, it's another one. You know, I think Chelsea will be wary of this kind of fixture. Now, what I would say is that, you know, Burnley just about outside the relegation zone on goal difference at the start of the weekend. All the underlying stats, both ends of the pitch, suggest they're going to be in the bottom three come the end of the season. And you know, looking at Chelsea, I mean, if they are serious kind of top four or better contenders, these are the kind of games they have to win. And I think it could be a bit more open than the odds suggest, actually. I'm going to go for Chelsea to win and both teams to score. Chelsea's certainly not reliable defensively away from home. Both teams have scored in seven of their nine away games, and that includes kind of trips to Lincoln in the League Cup and Carabag in the Champions League. So I think Burnley can be bold. You know, they've shown a bit more attacking quality than I expected this season. But I think Chelsea, you know, the attacking unit seems to be taking shape quite nicely. You know, Garnacho and Estevao, really exciting wingers. And João Pedro in his more natural position as a number 10. So I think Chelsea can edge an entertaining game there.
Just wondering, Dan, whether we should be giving Enzo Maresca a bit more credit when you consider that Chelsea has sat third and they've barely had Cole Palmer available all the way through the season, who's blatantly, obviously, their best player. You know, and they are still sort of hanging on to the coattails of the top two at the moment, and a good run at this stage could be crucial.
They've coped very well. I mean, Pedro Neto's been, you know, stepped up for them, hasn't he, more lately. João Pedro's been an excellent signing, can play like different roles as well as a centre forward, and that creative aspect that kind of they would otherwise miss, you know, with Cole Palmer being out. So I think they're a bit more, they've got the tools, shall we say, to cope better with Palmer's absence probably this season than maybe last season. And don't forget the Club World Cup as well. To I've had that in the summer. There was kind of worries, including from myself, how they would cope, you know, with such a short pre-season. So they'll be delighted to be where they are in the table. I still wouldn't have them quite down as a genuine title challenger at the moment. I still think there's a little bit of, you're not sure what you're going to get from them on, you know, too many occasions. I think they'll win this game. I'm going to go a little bit different to James. I think they'll be, it'll be quite a low scoring game, actually. Burnley, I know they had the 3-2 defeat at West Ham last time, which was a big blow, took the lead and then lost to a relegation rival. But at home, not conceded more than two goals in any home game. They've played the likes of Arsenal, sat in a low block, lost 2-0. Liverpool, sat in a low block, lost 1-0 to a very late goal. So, you know, you can imagine what it's going to be like there. Burnley in a cold snap. It's not going to be a fun trip for Chelsea. And no, I don't see it being a goal spree. Chelsea to win a low scoring one. So Chelsea in under 3.5 goals at odds against for me.
Okay, well, we're going to head to Anfield next, where Liverpool face Nottingham Forest. And this, of course, is a game that Forest won 1-0 last season. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff again at Anfield on Saturday. And the defending champions are 2-5 to claim the victory here. It's 7-1 Forest and the draw 15-4. A lot of criticism. I happen to feel a little bit unfairly for Liverpool in the game at Manchester City. Beaten heavily. Could have been different because of the Van Dijk goal that was ruled out, Dan. Also, as well, it wasn't as bad a performance as I've seen from them earlier in the season away from home. I thought for long periods they were still in the game, but there's a few questions still to be answered, and players coming back from all around the globe on international duty. This is another tricky fixture.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, Warren, they probably played a hell of a lot better in that game than earlier in a lot of the games earlier in the season when they were on a winning run. I mean, you know, and weren't performing that well. But the issue at the moment is, it sounds, you know, simplistic, but they have lost 5 of their last 6 Premier League games. Now, that's not going to be very good for your morale and confidence. And conceding, even though it's against Manchester City, 3 goals is another sign that the balance isn't right. They are giving up, you know, too many chances at the moment. And, you know, those odds against the Forest team that are showing signs now of improving, certainly under Sean Dyche. 2-2 against Man United. They had probably the better chances in that game. Their XG was nearly double Man United's, and they've gone and come from behind to win 3-1 against Leeds in a big game for them towards the bottom. I don't see Forest being in that bottom three for much longer. Now, getting something at Liverpool is not going to be easy, but I certainly don't think they're going to be going there just to make the numbers up. And I actually think, given that Liverpool's form after an international break, you know, doubts over again whether they're too open, whether the shape's kind of right, Liverpool still at the moment, I think the draw nearly 4-1 is big enough to chance. So I'm going to go chance the draw.
Well, Dan, quite bullish about Nottingham Forest, Milt. I mean, obviously, as you say there, Dan mentioned 2 big results from a huge win against Leeds last time out. I think a lot of clubs might be looking at Sean Dyche now and thinking, maybe we should have taken him on.
I think so. I mean, I think you'd also say that, you know, Forest, with the squad that they had, shouldn't really have been in that position. You know, it's a ridiculous start to the season, wasn't it, going through the two managers. So I think Dyche doesn't need to do anything too special to get them comfortably out of trouble. And you know, that obviously those home wins have really helped them. I think both of these clubs actually really reliant on their home form. You know, just looking at Forest away from home, scored twice in 5 away games in the league, and had a really dour 0-0 draw away to Sturm Graz in their last Europa League trip. Missed a penalty in that game as well. So I think this could be quite a cagey one, you know, for all the reasons that Dan's tipping the draw. You know, Liverpool not firing after the international break. You know, they did kind of steady the ship with those home wins over Aston Villa and Real Madrid. Kept clean sheets in both of those games. So it could be a case of kind of going back to basics a bit at Anfield and keeping things tight and then relying on a couple of moments of magic. You know, they certainly have the attackers who can produce those moments, but I don't think it's going to be a really expansive return to form for Liverpool.
Next, it's to Old Trafford, and it's a Monday evening kickoff at 8 o'clock for Manchester United against Everton. United are 3-4 to claim the victory in this game. It's 100-30 Everton and 3-1 the draw. Manchester United showing a little bit of consistency. I'll whisper it carefully in case they get blamed from the Old Trafford faithful for it going pear-shaped this weekend. But they are starting to show now under Ruben Amorim exactly what it was that he was wanting from the Milt.
Yeah, it's taken a while, hasn't it? But I think United fans should be very pleased with the the recent progress. You know, admittedly, you know, needed late goals in those draws at Forest and Tottenham, and they did ride their luck in that great win at Anfield. You know, Liverpool missed a host of chances, hit the woodwork a couple of times. So I'm still not completely sold on United at kind of odds like this against an Everton side who are going to be pretty obdurate, I think. You know, United have found some fluency in attack, but their only clean sheet in the league this season was at home to Sunderland. So, yeah, I think Everton are going to get chances. As you can tell, I'm struggling to pick one out in the match betting here. So I'm going to go for a fancy price goal scorer. Everton's James Garner, of course, came through the Old Trafford youth system. And he's been peppering the opposition goals in recent weeks, whether he's been playing in midfield or filling in at fullback. Had 19 shots in his last 8 games in all competitions. Scored in the early season win against Brighton. So I think maybe he could mark his return to Old Trafford in style.
It could be a bit of friends reunited at Old Trafford because, of course, David Moyes returns to his old stomping ground as well. And I think, Dan, it's fair to say that Moyes still feels harshly dealt with in terms of the time that he got at Manchester United, whereas in Ruben Amorim has been given a little bit more time now and is now getting the results.
Yeah, I kind of agree with James. I'm still not sold on United at the moment. There's certainly improvement, but I think with United, it gets such an emotional response that you know they're either like you know absolutely terrible or you know or they're suddenly brilliant. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle that there's some improvement going on. What we do know as well is that they're quite a bit stronger at home, have been for a while than they have been away. 4 wins out of 5 at home, and I actually think at shade of odds, they're not massively odds on. I think that's a reasonable price against an Everton side that are still relying a lot on home form, but moved into a new stadium and they're going well there. But away from home, only 1 point from the last 3 away games. Historically, not got a great record at Old Trafford. United are certainly carrying a threat now with the signs of Mbeumo and Cunha. I think their home strong home form will continue. United to win.
Okay, 5 down, 5 to go. And it's to Elland Road we head next for Sunday's 2 o'clock kickoff, where Leeds play host to Aston Villa. Leeds 21-10. The draw is 23-10 and Villa 27-20. I know there's been a lot of speculation over the international breakdown regarding Daniel Farke's future at Leeds after that defeat at the hands of Nottingham Forest to see them slip towards the bottom three. They're sticking with him for the time being, and the fans have probably got to stick with him as well.
Yeah, I think Leeds are probably about where I would have... Well, maybe you could even argue they're slightly above where you'd expect them to be. A newly promoted team's recent years have just been coming straight back down. They're still outside the relegation zone at the moment. It probably doesn't do him any favours at Sunderland. They're just doing so well as a newly promoted team. And but yeah, there seems to be every time these have a bad result, there seems to be talk about you know Farke, you know getting the sack. I mean, maybe that will happen, but I'm not sure that a change of manager is really the thing that Leeds need. I still think they've got a fighting chance of staying up. Certainly with their you know the backing that they get at Elland Road, they've strengthened over the summer. But you know you have to strengthen you know a lot when you come up from the Championship. So. I think at the moment, considering the 2 defeats they've just had, and Villa's, you know, they've responded so well since that poor start to the season. 5 wins in the last 6 games, and just at the prices, given the confidence difference between the teams. I know Villa, it sounds like they picked a couple of injuries up during the international break, but I think at the odds, 27-20, yeah, I would take Villa to win.
Do you remember this game from when it was a Championship fixture and Marcelo Bielsa said to his players that they had to let Villa go and score because of a controversial goal? There'll be no sign to that, I'm sure, in terms of the clash on Sunday. Leeds' home form is going to be vital, Milts, for them from going forward. But you know, against a side like Villa in really good form, it's a lot to ask.
Yeah, I mean, I'm tipping both teams to score, so I'm hoping that it will land in similar circumstances. But we can't bank on that, you're right. But yeah, I think given the disparity between Leeds' form at Elland Road and their away record, you know, they've lost 5 in 6 away from home. I think they can't afford to sit back and hope for draws, even against a team as good as Villa. So yeah, I'm expecting an open game. You know, Leeds played really well in the 2-2 draw against Bournemouth at Elland Road. did well in the 2-1 defeat to Tottenham, who were very fortunate. And then they were 2-0 up inside 15 minutes against West Ham in their last home game. So I'm expecting them to play on the front foot. But then, you know, you look at Villa, and Dan mentioned their poor start. That's a distant memory now. They were scratching around, couldn't score a goal in their first four games, I think, could they? But they found the net in 11 of their last 12 in all competitions. And the exception was that defeat at Liverpool at Anfield, where they hit the post very early on. So, yeah, I think both teams to score is a really solid bet in this one.
Okay, well, we're going to head to Molineux next for a 3 p.m. Saturday kickoff as Wolves rock bottom of the table will play host to Crystal Palace. 14-5, the home side here. Palace are 19-20 and the draw 13-5. And James, it's going to be Rob Edwards, the main focus, of course, having decided to leave Middlesbrough and take up the Wolves role. He's got a massive task on his hands, obviously. Is there any hope for Wolves going forward?
I mean, it is a huge job, isn't it, given how detached they are already at this stage of the season. If you're looking at it positively, you say, well, he's still got plenty of games to go before they know their fate. But, you know, we've mentioned kind of teams like Forest and West Ham, who seem to be on the up. And, yeah, I think it's going to be a real struggle for Wolves to finish above three of their rivals. And, you know, Rob Edwards, he certainly impressed with Middlesbrough early on in the Championship season, made them hard to beat. I don't think his teams are particularly renowned for their attacking flair, and Wolves need to win games. I mean, this one I think is a tough one. I like the look of Palace to win 2-0. They kept clean sheets against Brentford and Brighton in their last two league games. They were competitive at Arsenal, only lost 1-0 to that Eze goal. And yeah, I think it sounds as though Mark Gay should be fit after withdrawing from the England squad. And I think they can make it a really difficult return to Molineux for Rob Edwards.
Wolves obviously just hoping more than anything, Dan, that a new manager bounce might have an impact. What are you thinking here?
I don't think it's... look, if you ask me now on the spot, will Wolves go down? I would say, yeah, they'll probably go down. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion, like a lot of people seem to think. I saw enough from them earlier in the season before the confidence kind of went in the last few weeks to suggest that they're not as bad, anywhere near as bad as their points tally suggests. The manager that's come in, when he was at Luton, he had them in contention until quite late in that season. And I would suggest with a group of players, nowhere near as good as the group that he's inheriting now at Wolves. Now, the key here is he needs a win and he needs it quick. You know, one win when you're on such a bad run can make a huge difference. You know, can often lead to 2-3 and then all of a sudden the picture changes. But at the moment, yeah, it looks tough. Their fixtures leading up to Christmas as well don't look, you know, great reading as well for Wolves. This game, I agree with James that it's a tricky one to call because there could be a Wolves reaction. He does get his teams well organised as well. Middlesbrough, the reason they're going well in the Championship, a lot of it is down to being strong defensively. But Palace are such a strong side, you know, to oppose them when, you know, it looks like Gerhi's going to be back. They've got real weapons up front. I think the match result prices are about right. To cut a long story short, I think it'll be a tight game with Edwards coming in and tightening Wolves up. Going to go with unders, a shade of odds on, under 2.5 goals.
Next, it is Bournemouth against West Ham for us. It's Saturday again at 3 o'clock, and Bournemouth are priced at 8-13 to claim the victory here. It's 4-1 West Ham and 16-5 the draw. A little bit of a resurgence. I don't know if that's the right word to use with West Ham at the moment, Dan, but they're showing some better signs under Nuno. Can they get anything out of this?
I don't think they will. I mean, obviously, massive results in the last two because there was a danger that they was going to be completely cut off. I mean, they've had two, you know, big home wins against Newcastle and Burnley, and they're still in the bottom three. Shows you the situation they were in. But you know, Paqueta, who's started to play well, he's suspended for this game. I think that's a massive blow because it's not just an issue of a lack of quality with West Ham. I don't think the depth is that great as well. You lose a big player with Paqueta out, if they lost Bowen for a period of time, that would be a complete disaster as well. So there's obvious issues there with the squad probably needing strengthening in January. As I said, looks like they might be in touch now in January, which gives them a fighting chance of staying up. But Bournemouth, they had a rubbish first half against Villa and ended up losing the game 4-0 after they improved in the second half. But generally, they're having a great season. 13 points from 5 home games. 4-6 sort of to win at home for this game. There's quite a gulf, I think, between the sides. I think Bournemouth will bounce back with a win.
It was revealed last week, Milts, that there is a clause in the contract of Antoine Semenyo that he might be able to leave in January if somebody comes up with what Bournemouth want in terms of a price for him. I just wonder, you know, how much of an impact something like that being revealed can have on a team who are going well at the moment.
Yeah, it's hard to know, isn't it? I mean, I think for clubs like Bournemouth, you know, their success has been down to amazing scouting networks. You know, you saw the players they were selling in the summer. So, I don't think that things are going to fall apart just because Semenyo might leave in January. I think they'll back themselves to unearth another gem, maybe in January, maybe in the summer. And you know, whoever does sign him is going to be paying probably over the odds for him, because they'll be desperate for a proven Premier League goal scorer and creator. So I don't think that will be a disaster for Bournemouth. As Dan says, I think they're worthy favourites in this one. I actually think that could be plenty of goals. Over 3.5 goals has been a winner in 5 of Bournemouth's last 6 games. You know, we were hailing their new-look defence at the start of the season after all those summer departures. They've had a little sticky patch, losing 3-1 at City, and then, as Dan mentioned, that 4-0 loss at Villa, which was a bit of a shock. But I think they can get back to winning ways against West Ham, and it should be an entertaining game.
Up next, it is Fulham against Sunderland at Craven Cottage. Another 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. The Cottage is 11-10. The draw 9-4, and Sunderland 11-4. Fulham in a bit of difficulties at the moment. A few rumblings of discontent, shall we say, at Craven Cottage, Milts, as things stand at the moment. Are they, in your opinion, in this relegation battle?
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, it's, you know, you're always wary about kind of reading too much into recent form. But, you know, 5 defeats in 6 games. And as we've mentioned, there are teams below them who are kind of picking up, whether it's due to new manager bounce or just kind of a squad that's stopped underperforming. And yeah, you fear for Fulham because things just seem to have gone a little bit stagnant. You know, Marco Silva's stock was really high kind of a couple of seasons ago. I remember he was being linked with a move to the Saudi league, where I think he'd been on similar salary to Elon Musk. But he's stayed loyal to Fulham. But, you know, you're just wondering if it's the old cliche, you know, has he taken them as far as he can? A 2-0 defeat at Everton last time out, really underwhelming. They're a bit better at home, but, you know, 3 of their 8 goals at Craven Cottage have been opposition own goals. And I'm happy to take a punt on Sunderland to win at Craven Cottage this weekend. You know, they've not been great away from home, but I think they, you know, will have taken so much confidence from that performance against Arsenal. And you look at them, they've got solid defence, they've got a really good midfield, they've got pace on the counter-attack, and I think they might just have a bit more zest and a bit more belief than Fulham. So I'm quite happy to take sort of odds of 5-2, 13-5 about Sunderland.
Not too many people, Dan, would have predicted 11 places between these two sides, with Sunderland above Fulham at this stage of the season. But it's fully deserved when you look at how both teams have performed so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I was so impressed with how Sunderland played against Arsenal as well. Not just the majority, even the bit at the end when they've gone, fought so hard. They played in a low block. You know, it must have took a lot of energy, you know, to play that way, chasing the ball, Arsenal having dominating possession, but then to find the energy and the belief to come again and get the equaliser at the end. You know, you've got to give them a hell of a lot of credit. They do the basics. They're energetic. They're well led by Granit Xhaka. They do the basics really well, and they've added quality in lots of areas of the pitch as well. I mean, only sort of 3 or 4 players have survived from the team that started that playoff final victory. I think from Fulham's point of view, I think they probably are in a relegation, but I wouldn't expect them to go down. The issue for them is that it feels like hard work for them often to score goals and win games. They've not got a striker that's going to that you would fancy to get sort of double figures. So it's difficult for them to blow teams away. At home, you've got to give them quite a bit of respect. Actually, you've got 10 points from home games. So I don't think they'll lose this game, but I think it'll be a tight game. Going to go with a draw.
And last but not least, we're going to head to the Amex Stadium, also at 3 o'clock on Saturday, where Brighton play host to Brentford. Brighton 10-11 to claim the win here. Brentford 3-1 and the draw 13-5. I have to admit, my initial reaction to that is that Brentford are quite a big price, because I find this a difficult game to call.
Yeah, that was my initial reaction, and that's what I still feel. I think I'm going to go with Brentford or draw. Double chance. I think Brighton, I wouldn't be wanting to back Brighton even at a shade of odds on. I find them quite a difficult team to judge at the moment, if I'm being honest. Brighton, they're quite an inconsistent side. They'll win one week, lose the next. I know they were good, weren't they, in the last home game when they beat Leeds comfortably. But Brentford, I know Brentford's best form has been at home, but they've done that. Them home results, you think of the games against Man United, Liverpool, Newcastle, playing in a low block and counter-attacking. So you would think being good at that style of play eventually is going to translate to better away form as well. So I think they've done incredibly well under Keith Andrews. As usual, they lose players and recruit really well, like the likes of sort of Bournemouth and Brighton do. And I think they're going to go on and have a decent season. Be in a similar position, maybe. They're on the same points as Brighton now. I'd back them to be at least level with them after the weekend.
Oops, how do you see this one going?
Yeah, I'm going to swim against the tide. I'm quite sweet on Brighton here. Yeah, as we mentioned with so many clubs this season, you know, there is that disparity between home and away form. And Brighton, you know, not great away from home, albeit, you know, gritty 0-0 draw at Crystal Palace last time out. So that was decent. You know, Brentford lost 2-0 at Palace on their last away trip. And I think Brighton unbeaten at home, you know, they've had wins against Man City, Newcastle, and then that 3-0 win against Leeds, which was a great result. And Brentford lost 4 out of 5 away from home. Only win came at West Ham when they were really down in the dumps. And I think Brighton can win this as well. You know, the two games they've dropped points in at home were conceded late equalisers against Fulham and Tottenham. So I think Brighton, shade of odds on, I think still makes them appeal.
Okay, well, that is the Premier League ticked off then for another week. Up next, it's your FPL update, and then we'll discuss all matters EFL. Well, it's time now to look at Fantasy Premier League again, and Jamie Philby joins us now for his suggestions as to who to have in your FPL team in Game Week 12.
So, Game Week 12 is almost upon us, and as always, after a chaotic international break, here are three players that you should consider bringing into your FPL team. If the rumours are true, Arsenal defender Gabriel will be out for at least a month, and our pick to replace him is Liverpool captain Virgil van Dijk. Van Dijk faces a blunt attack in Nottingham Forest this weekend at Anfield. Forest are winless on their travels this term and have scored just twice away from home, so you can expect Van Dijk and Liverpool to keep a clean sheet here. Our midfield pick is Crystal Palace star Ismaïla Sarr. Priced at 6.7 million, Sarr and Palace travel to Wolves, who are bottom of the table this weekend. The Senegal international has racked up an XG of 3.72 this season, which is bettered by just 3 midfield assets. And finally, our striker pick this week is Brentford forward Igor Thiago. Priced at attempting 6.3 million, he's scored 4 in 4 and has been a revelation for the Bees so far this season. He's accumulated an XG of 5.85 so far this term, bettered by only Jean-Philippe Mateta and, of course, Erling Haaland. Igor Thiago and Brentford travel to the south coast this weekend to face Brighton at the Amex, and he's proved so far this season that he can score against absolutely anyone despite the tough fixture.
Well, a big thanks to Jamie for his FPL input. We're going to turn our attentions now to the Football League, and I suppose the big story of the EFL at the moment is that in the last few days or so, no fewer than 4 Championship teams have been looking for new managers. Swansea have made an appointment this week at the likes of Norwich, Middlesbrough and Southampton, looking to try and fill their vacancies in terms of the managerial hot seat. I mean, Dan, it makes it even harder, I suppose, to find the right person when there's a number of teams in your own league who are looking for a new manager at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a few of them could be looking at, you know, the same potential candidates. Obviously, but Middlesbrough was, you know, they weren't looking to make a change, were they? But Norwich, they've gone with Clement, haven't they? With they've got in, you know, the ex Glasgow Rangers manager. That's going to be, you know, an interesting appointment. Southampton look like they're giving Tonda Ekka a chance to nail down the position. The former assistant of Will Steele, but no, it'd be interesting. Swansea, I mean, they were actually playing. you know, they've had a little bit of a downturn in results, but I was looking at a lot of their performances and they looked like they were playing pretty well. I mean, you know, even the recent, it looks like a heavy defeat where they lost 4-1 at home to Ipswich, but they were kind of well in that game for a long period. So I was a little bit surprised, shall we say, with that decision.
Yeah, and in terms of the top of the table, of course, Coventry are still running away with things at the top of the Championship. And Frank Lampard was named Manager of the Month last week. And I'm sure that he'll be fully focused on extending that lead this weekend when they play host to West Brom on Saturday. Time to get Dan's thoughts now on his best bets across the EFL this week. And we'll start off with the Championship. Dan, and where are we looking here?
I'm going to go with Charlton to win at home to Southampton. There are two divisions between these sides last season, but at the moment, Charlton are ninth on 23 points, Southampton 17th with 18 points. And I think that at this stage, there's been a lot of games, isn't there? I mean, you know, you're about a third of the way through the season. I think the league table is probably a fairly accurate reflection of where these two teams are at. Now, Tonda Eckhart has come in as the interim manager, caretaker, whatever you want to call him, and they've got two wins. But sometimes you've got to dig a little bit deeper. The win at QPR, where they've sneaked a 2-1 win, they were battered for large parts of that game. And then they played Sheffield Wednesday at home, who had played against Norwich in a big game on the Wednesday night and had to play again on the Saturday with the same players. And they beat them 3-1. But you look at the balance of the game and they made really hard work of it. And I'm not so sure Southampton are going to shoot up the table like a lot of people are expecting. I think it's going to be a pretty tricky job. And Charlton is it's a difficult place to go. They've got 14 points from 7 home games. They're kind of no frills. They really put it on your direct style. And I think they'll give Southampton a real tough game. And the prices, I mean, they're making it both teams similar prices. Charlton, for me, just to win the game, 17-10, take a chance on Charlton.
Yeah, I've covered Charlton a couple of times this season and been impressed as well with what I've seen so far. So Charlton is the Championship selection for Dan. Who are we looking at League One, Dan?
Yeah, going to go with Reading to win at home to Rotherham. Now, Reading are a bit lower in the table at the moment than Rotherham. They're on 18 points. Rotherham in 11th place on 22. Been on a really good run, Rotherham, but their injuries have been absolutely piling up, especially at centre-back and up front. Hugo and Nomba, I think centre-forwards are going to be out for this game. They've lost Baptiste, Raggett, Zach Jules, three centre-backs. They've been really sort of struggling with a spine-led team. They kind of sat back away to Luton last weekend and sort of dogged out a 0-0 draw. But I just wonder how often they can kind of get away with playing like that. Reading have had off-field problems. Now they seem to have solved them. Got Liam Richardson in, who's a good manager for the level. Started off with a great... they lost in the Cup, but then had a great league victory at home to Stevenage, 1-0. This against an injury-hit Rotherham, I think it's quite a bit easier. So Reading at a shade of odds on with a good home record. I'm going to back them to win.
Yeah, home advantage then for Reading to see them across the line against Rotherham. So Charlton and Reading so far, and we'll conclude with Dan's tip for League Two.
I'll go with a little bit more of like an obvious one, if you like. MK Dons, third in League Two, away to Tranmere, who are 16th in the division. MK Dons are quite a bit of odds against, which sort of caught my eye. Had a look at the team news, and Russian Hepburn Murphy, who's been playing really well for MK Dons, is out injured, and there's been a bit of a drift, but I still think they've got plenty of quality in this. Like Alan Patterson, you know, Championship player most of his career. He can do a job for them up front. And I think they'll have too much for Tranmere, who have gone 6 home league games without a win until a very chaotic 3-2 victory at home to Cheltenham last weekend. I think this is a lot tougher. I would take MK Dons to get the win.
Okay, so just a reminder of the 3 EFL tips for Dan this week: Charlton, Reading and MK Dons. We're going to head back to the Premier League now, and James is going to run us through his bet builder. So this week's Premier League bet builder is not surprisingly focusing on the North London derby. And Miltz, what's the first leg of the bet builder?
Yeah, first leg is under 3.5 goals. You know, traditionally this fixture is a high scoring one, but I think this weekend's one is going to be a bit more cagey. Arsenal still missing so many important attacking players, and Tottenham, as we mentioned earlier in the show, really struggling to create chances consistently under Thomas Frank. You know, he's prioritised kind of that sort of pragmatic approach and tightening things up. But yeah, it's hard to see how they're going to land a blow on the Arsenal defence. And 9 of Tottenham's 11 league games have had under 3.5 goals. And I think that trend is going to continue. His second leg is Riccardo Calafiore to have two or more shots. He sat out Italy's World Cup qualifying defeat in Norway, but he should be fit to start. Had a really good start to the season, keeping Miles Lewis-Skelly out of the starting lineup, which is a blow to his World Cup chances. And Calafiore's been getting forward to really good effect. Scored Arsenal's winner at Manchester United on the opening weekend. He's actually averaging 1.7 shots per 90 minutes in the league. So I think him to have two or more attempts against Tottenham is another solid bet builder selection. And then we're going to wrap it up with another of my favourites in this fixture, Christian Romero, to be shown a card. Booked in two of his last four games against Arsenal. Just looking at his disciplinary record this term, picked up a yellow card in three of his four away Premier League games, and was also booked in the first half against Manchester United last time out. So I think Arsenal will do their best to put him under pressure, and his rugged approach to defending could catch the referee's eye.
Just a reminder then of James's bet builder for the North London Derby, under 3.5 goals, Calafiore to have two or more shots, and Romero to be carded, and will be around about 17-2 for that bet builder. We'll turn our attentions now to the assist treble, where we have a selection, of course, for each of the three of us. And Dan, we'll start with your tip first for the treble. Where are we looking here?
I'm going to go with two strong League One fancies this weekend, and the other one was Leighton Orient to win at home to Blackpool at a shade of odds on. Orient have kind of revamped their squad, similar to last season, actually. Had a bit of an inconsistent start. They've actually got a couple more points at this stage than they had last season. They ended up, you know, getting to the playoff final. They're the joint highest scorers in the league, so they're clearly doing, you know, they've got the players up front. And they've won the last five home games across all competitions. They're playing a Blackpool side that have shown a little bit of improvement under it since Ian Everett's gone in there. But they lost 1-0 at Burton last weekend. They've lost 7 of 8 away league games. So Leighton Orient with their home form, shade of odds on. Go for them.
It's Orient for Dan. I think you're in the EFL as well, aren't you, Milts?
Yeah, going for Ipswich to beat Wrexham in the Championship. Ipswich were all the rage in the anti-post title betting. Had a bit of a slow start to the season. I think they're on the charge now, and along with Coventry, they look the best team in the division. Won three of their last four games. The exception was a 1-1 draw at home to Watford, when they were really pushing for a winner late on there. I think they should be too slick for Wrexham, who are winless in four away games, and they've only scored twice in those games. I think Ipswich's attacking firepower will prove decisive.
Well, I'm going to drop back into League One, and I'm going with Stevenage, who are available at around about 19-20 for their League One home clash with Doncaster on Saturday. Now, the hosts have slipped to sixth in the table, have collected just 1 point from the last three games, but the bigger picture from that is that there was a defeat against a much improved Reading team, which was only 1-0 loss, and the other two games were against top three sides in Bradford and Lincoln. They now face a Doncaster team that hasn't won a league game since September the 6th, and they've lost four of the last five as well in League One, and I think Stevenage can get back to winning ways on Saturday. So the treble for the assist this week is Leighton Orient, Ipswich and Stevenage. And we'll conclude this week's shows with the naps of the week. And Dan, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, going to go with that Reading to win that League One game against Rotherham. I mean, Reading, 14 of their 18 points have been secured in home games. They're playing a Rotherham team, as I mentioned earlier, injury hit, and they've lost 5 of their 8 away League One games. So we're Reading to win.
OK, Reading for Dan. And who's your nap, James?
I'm going into Serie A, over 2.5 goals in Cremonese against Roma. Jamie Vardy's Cremonese, I should say. Roma's games this season in Italy have averaged only 1.55 goals per game. But I'm looking at the XG. They've been really riding their luck defensively. I think the floodgates could open here. Cremonese have played 5 matches against teams in the top 8. 4 of them produced over 2.5 goals. Lost 4-1 at Inter last month, and I think this one could be more entertaining than the prices suggest. So kind of 11-10, over 2.5 goals, that certainly appeals to me.
Well, a big thanks to both James and Dan for their input on this week's show. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. And just to mark your card, the Euro Assist will return on Monday, looking ahead to game week 5 of the Champions League. And the domestic assists will be back next week. Looking forward, of course, to the likes of Chelsea against Arsenal, amongst other games. But for now, enjoy your football this weekend. And as always, as we always say, of course, please remember to gamble responsibly.